It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul's here. Mary Jo's in Sweden. And we're going to channel the outrage over OneDrive in Windows 10 and a whole lot more. Stay tuned. Windows Weekly is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 389, recorded November 19th, 2014. OneDrive was my IKEA. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Lynda.com. Lynda is an easy and affordable way to help you learn. Instantly stream thousands of courses created by experts on business, software, web development, graphic design, and more. For a free trial, visit Lynda.com/Windows. That's LYNDA.com/Windows. And by Citrix ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size, easily and securely with Citrix ShareFile. Try ShareFile today. For a 30-day free trial, go to ShareFile.com, click the microphone, and enter Windows. And by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster, easier, and cheaper. Post your job to 50-plus job boards with one click. Try ZipRecruiter free with a 4-day trial right now at ZipRecruiter.com/Windows. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we talk about Windows, Microsoft, and all that jazz with these two. Our jazz performers, Paul Thurrott from the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com, author of so many lovely books. In fact, I see them all in a box behind them. Got the remainders, huh, Paul?
Those are HP tablets, Leo.
Off they go to Gazelle. Yeah. And with us also from Stockholm, Sweden, Mary Jo Foley of ZDNet, allaboutmicrosoft.com. You look, what a great image. Thanks to the folks in Sweden who set this up. You look great.
Yep, Mike Anderberg gets all the credit from Microsoft. He did all the work.
Are you using Skype?
Yep, using Skype.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm going to have to be very careful with my lower thirds and my shots today, because I see we're on a big screen behind you.
We are. Are there
actually people there?
Yes, there are.
a big audience.
A pretty good audience, yeah. Awesome. Maybe we can do some live Q&A.
That would be great.
That'd be fun.
I'd love to do that. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
All right. Well, let's kick things off. Find out what you're doing there in Sweden. I see the sign behind you says Tech Days.
Yes. Tech Days is a conference here in Sweden for IT pros and developers. And I was part of the kickoff keynote today with Albert Shum from Microsoft, who's the head of design for Windows Phone, and Xbox. So he's one of the big wigs behind all the Metro development and Metro style language and all. And then we had a great Women in Tech lunch here where we had all the women attendees, or a lot of them at least, come in. And tonight we had an awesome panel where we had like six or seven people answering audience questions about everything from Windows 10 to what the future of Windows Phone is, and people from Microsoft weighing in, and people from the IT and IT dev pro and other communities weighing in. So it's been really good. Really good show.
What fun. Well, I'm thrilled that we could get you out there. They're saying if you have a moment to take a picture with your icon and tweet it out so that we can see the audience.
I should. I will do that.
And then I can show that.
The other thing I'll just point out, I think, unless I'm misunderstanding what your setup, I think you could probably change what the camera that Skype uses and then turn that camera on as well.
Oh, that's Paul? Paul?
I know. Okay, sorry.
Paul?
Paul? Yeah, let me step you through it, Mary Jo.
Paul?
Let's try that live, right?
Let's pretend you didn't hear that, Mary Jo.
I'm not even going to attempt
Yeah,
that.
No problem. Just go into the Skype there if you...
No.
What version of Skype are you using, Mary Jo?
Paul?
I stop.
Oh, no, I got this one. I oughta.
it reminds me of the time that I updated Windows while we were doing a show. That was a mistake.
So I got to click here. Don't click there. Yeah.
And then
it rebooted the computer.
Boom.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I don't think I'm going to try that.
How big is this? How big is the audience? I mean, is it a lot of people?
How many people are in the audience? Maybe 30.
Oh, okay. It's
It's not a thousand.
No. But it's still pretty great.
All right. Well, we'll follow your Twitter stream.
Yeah, we're fighting against the party next door with two bands and free beer. Come on, these people are in here.
Get your free beer, listen to a song, and come on into the show.
Oh, that's right. It's exactly. Nighttime there.
Yes.
It's 8:11 p.m. Yeah. Here. So
right.
Yeah.
Okay. It's 8:11 p.m. and it's also the second ice age, I believe, or is it the third? Windows 10 tech preview and user feedback. Tell me all about that. Who wants to take
where
that
to
one?
Dig in. Where to oh, dig boy. In on
I just want to say this is Mary Jo Foley's fault.
Why is
it
that?
It is.
She started this all last week, the complaining. And now...
Wait, what? I did?
Well,
I think I'm the only person who wasn't complaining about what they did.
What did they do? What happened?
All right, let Paul talk about OneDrive because this is, you know, there's a new version of the Windows 10 tech preview out as of last week, and they've made some changes that some of the more power user type people are not that happy about. And I'm going to let Paul weigh in on that, and then I'm going to weigh in.
Okay, not that happy about it's an understatement. So
I know.
Remember, remember this is a tech preview.
Yep.
This is not a released version of Windows by any means.
We know. Yeah, but see, that's actually the problem. So, in other words, the first two preview builds of Windows 10 have been very high quality, very stable, very recommendable, you know, to even normal people. They work very well. And this third one, okay, so it's kind of a regression from a stability standpoint. But they quietly, and I mean there was no warning that this was coming, but they introduced a major change to OneDrive. And so if you were coming at Windows 10 from a Windows 8.1 perspective, the first couple of builds of Windows 10 worked just like Windows 8.1 did, and then the third one suddenly did not. So the outrage is not that they've made that change, although that would certainly generate a certain amount of grumbling. It's that they basically explained themselves and said, yeah, we're not fixing this. This is the way it's going to work going forward. There'll be improvements to it, but it's never going back to the way it was. So that's the problem. It's not that it's a beta build and we're overreacting. It's that Microsoft is fundamentally changing the way that OneDrive works in Windows and not for the better. And so we could go really far into the weeds, but the short version that I'll try to make is that when you think about OneDrive sync clients, you're basically talking about three different operating systems, Mac OS 10, Windows 7, and Windows 8.1. Mac OS 10 and Windows 7 work the same way. You sign into OneDrive. It says, do you want to sync all of your OneDrive to the PC, or do you want to pick which folders to sync? Obviously, in these days of 1 terabyte, 10 terabyte, eventually unlimited storage, some people, power users, who are actually uploading stuff to OneDrive, like I am, are going to have to select the folders to sync. So the problem with that approach is that if you have three folders in OneDrive and they all have different things in them, I'm trying to simplify this, but you try to just sync one from File Explorer in Windows or from the Finder in Mac OS X, you'll only see that folder. You'll have no access to the other locations. In Windows 8.1, they had a more elegant and also more complex system for some people where they didn't ask you what you wanted to sync. What they did was you logged in with your Microsoft account to the computer. It automatically synced placeholders for everything. And so it looked like everything was there. But what you were really seeing were little thumbnails and metadata files for the files that are really up in the cloud. And so if you double-clicked on one, it would open. It would have to download. So if it was a huge file, it might take a long time to open. Or you could arbitrarily mark files and folders for offline use. The problem with this system, and I think this is an issue that Mary Jo has experienced, is that because those things appear in the file system, you think they're there. And so maybe you get on a plane or you're in some other offline situation. You double-click on that Word document. It's not there. It's in the cloud, and you can't get to it because now you're offline. And so people complain. But the other issue here, and this is, I think, the important one, is that placeholder files aren't free, right? So if you have a terabyte of files, depending on the makeup of those files in the cloud, that is, The amount of space that those placeholders could take up on your drive could be tens of gigabytes. You know, if you have 2 terabytes, 3 terabytes, 10 terabytes, it's going to be, you know, even more. And so we have this weird situation where Microsoft, on the one hand, is offering unlimited storage in OneDrive to everyone who pays for Office 365. And on the other hand, they're selling really low-end devices, or their partners are, that have 16 gigs of storage, 32 gigs of storage, right? And it's conceivable that you, as the happy owner, happy and proud owner of a new HP Stream 7 laptop that, tablet that has, I can't remember what it has, 32 or 16 gigs of storage, you log into your account, you play with it for a little while, you load a couple of games on there, and you go to bed. The next time you turn it on, it says, burp, you have run out of space. Because while you weren't using it, it was downloading all the placeholders. It's not downloading the files, just the placeholders. And it filled up all the space in your drive. And so that's the problem, or those are the problems. So the placeholders take up space. That's going to be a problem in low-end devices, which are going to be the popular devices. And then normal people didn't realize that the placeholder files weren't the files.
Yep. I'm the normal person who they built this feature for. I was telling Paul, when everybody was flipping out when we found out that that's the change they made to OneDrive, I'm one of those people who, I got on a plane. Oh. I didn't realize the file was in the cloud. I tried to use it. I wasn't online. And no, it looked like it was there, but it wasn't there.
So you got bit.
I got bit, and I'm not the only one. You know, I always say this, and you guys laugh, but I'm the normal user in this case.
No, we recognize you as the normal one, believe me. We make no bones about that.
Right. And so I actually am kind of happy they're doing this change. And I'm also not someone who has a ton of OneDrive files either. But the ones I have, are a lot of them are documents that I want to work on when I'm disconnected. And I'm always left kind of scratching my head, like, is that on my PC or isn't that on my PC? And I understand there are ways they could make that more visible and apparent by, with shading or some kind of a visual cue. But I know also that Microsoft seems to be trying to make the way they support different services common across all of their platforms,
yeah,
so consistent. That they can update the files for iOS at the same time as they do for Android, at the same time they do for Windows 7 and Windows 8 and Windows 10. So I understand why they're doing
I understand. And for OneDrive for Business. Right.
And OneDrive for Business.
If you really want to go into the weeds on this, and we could easily spend 2 hours on this. Remember that Microsoft has these two different services that are completely. I know. I'll try not to. But OneDrive for Business and OneDrive are completely different. They're not always going to be. They're working to integrate them into a single engine that works between both. That they work consistently, look consistently. Mobile app form. It'll be one app that does both. If you use OneDrive for Business today on Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 8.1, whatever, I don't think it's on the Mac yet still. It's even dumber in the sense that if you choose to sync that to your PC, it's all or nothing for today. Right. And so in other words, right now I think you can only have, it must be a terabyte probably OneDrive for Business today because they haven't upgraded it yet. If you had a terabyte of files in there for some reason, if you sync that thing on your PC, it's going to download a terabyte of files, And if you don't have a terabyte of space, it's not going to work. So they're trying to serve a lot of masters in a way. And unfortunately, it's going to be the power user types like me who get burned by this.
Yeah. And, this is the interesting paradox of getting testers more involved again with Windows. The people who are going to get involved with something like a technical preview are power users. They're people like Paul. They're not people like me necessarily. So they're doing the right thing for the people who are not testing the operating system. And that's why you're seeing all this angst right now around this feature in particular. And there probably are going to be others as we go forward with more tech previews.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and this is kind of the central issue of the day over here in Microsoft land, which is you've got these people who are kind of tech enthusiasts and they're Microsoft oriented. They're the guys who cannot stand when an app appears first in iOS or Android or has features in iOS or Android that we don't have on the Windows side for some reason, maybe not yet or whatever it is, real, perceived or not. This belief that Microsoft is pushing other platforms over Windows. And now you could make the case that Microsoft is literally dumbing down this really important feature that differentiated the newest version of Windows. And it's they're making it as bad on Windows as it is everywhere else. It's like it's a little aggravating. I mean, I do understand that.
So the issue isn't so much that the technical preview has this, is that that it's a bellwether. It's a foretelling of something to come that you don't like.
Yeah, but
they could fix that easily by putting a little icon somehow on the file, or somehow indicating this file is not stored locally.
We've had every conversation you're going to have about the way I have suggested at least 10 ways to fix this thing,
and there's no reason to think they won't do that, right?
No, there is. They're not.
Yeah, there is.
What they say they won't?
No, they literally are not doing it. Yes.
Why would they refuse?
Because they want to make it the same across all the platforms, is my thinking.
On the other hand, they've refused to do a lot of things that they changed their mind
on. That's true.
Yep.
What I've learned is both as a child and a tech enthusiast is that if I complain and kick and scream, I will eventually get my way. So
and it sounds like there is a fairly strong groundswell of,
But you have to, I think what Mary Jo was alluding to, though, is what is that audience? I mean, on the one hand, you want to listen to these guys. I mean, they're tech enthusiasts.
Right, they're
biggest champions. Right. They don't necessarily represent the mainstream.
Right.
Right.
And this is, anyone who, Mary Jo and I write for a living, we write about technology, you have to sort of consider the audience and everything. I have my own sort of perspective on tech, but I also have to, take into account what the general population is doing. And Mary Jo does that, and everyone does that. And this is one of those issues, I sort of see the forest for the trees, but selfishly, I also think, this is something I really rely on. And I really like it. And a couple of weeks ago, if you had said, what's the future of this stuff? I would say, well, clearly, they're going to change the Mac client to make it like the one in Windows 8.1. It's going to be awesome. Windows 10 is obviously heading in that direction. And now, clearly, that is not happening. So,
I think the even bigger thing that we should think about, and Microsoft kind of warned us about this, but I'm not sure all of us thought about it, or at least thought it all the way through, was we're going to make changes to the tech previews as they come out. And some of them are going to make it look like we're taking steps back. Things are going to break that were working. And as a tester, you have to be aware of this. Because in the days before Windows 10, you would get builds that were very polished. They had been through a lot of internal testing. Right now, we're getting the code not as frequently as employees, but much more frequently. So things are going to be busted, then they're going to fix them. Things are going to change in between builds. Things that worked don't work, then work again. So I think we have to just be patient, Paul.
I'm always patient, Mary Jo. What do you mean?
Are you?
I've been testing software for many years. I get it. I do get it. I mean, use this system with my live data. I'm doing exactly what they tell you not to do. And I do that on purpose because I have brain damage. But, I know because I think it's important to live in this stuff. And, I reinstalled my computer over the weekend and did as close to a clean install as you can do with the consumer version of this. It still has a bunch of problems, stability and reliability related. And I'm going to just kind of suck it up and deal with it, whatever. I mean, that's just the way it is. So it's okay. But I mean, I think there's a difference between complaining about these regressions, which, as you said, are normal and to be expected and were explained to us ahead of time, right? And this OneDrive thing, which is a bigger issue.
Mm. Yeah.
I know.
And you also, as I recall last week, although it's kind of all a blur for me right now, but I think you were also worried that we're not going to get another tech preview until January. Didn't even say January. They said no more tech previews this calendar year. And I'm pretty okay with that idea because I think the next big one that we're going to get is the consumer preview in January. That's my understanding. So I think they're just like, why give them another tech preview with some stuff that's going to break? Why not just give them the next one that's going to be the big one?
So if it weren't for OneDrive, that would have been, I actually think, the big issue. And it wouldn't have been as big of an issue. But the reason that that's an issue, and what I mean by that is the no new builds until next year and possibly till the consumer preview, is that you've got these really... let's assume it's January, whatever it is. We've got these really enthusiastic people testing this thing, and they've plowed Microsoft under with feedback.
Yeah, they have.
There are massive amounts of feedback. People are voting topics up and down, and they want to feel like they've been heard, you know. The first two builds, obviously the first build, the second build, did not have any feedback-related changes. The third build, the one that just came out, had a real smattering. I mean, it was some basic, very small things. And there's a kind of a growing sense of angst there where, and I think part of it's because we were burned so bad in the past. You've asked us for our feedback, and you weren't integrating any of it into these builds that we're seeing, right? I think that's a problem. And now you're telling us that we're not going to see another build until next year. This is not a problem I have. I'm just saying, you know, from the perspective of the community, the people, the community of people who are testing this, the Windows Insider program, they're feeling like they're not being listened to. And I think you're seeing that as well as kind of an issue, a related issue.
Yep. I'm just trying to say it's still better than it was with Windows 8, where they said they were listening to feedback and it didn't really feel like almost any of it got into the product. So I'm holding out hope. I'm back to being
I haven't
Debbie
lost
Downer.
The faith or anything. I
remember last week I was Debbie Downer last week, so I'm back now. I'm back to myself.
I do remember that. That was crazy. It was like you and I swapped bodies. It was like one of those
saying, Mary Jo, you're not a downer now?
No, now I'm like saying be patient and
be
upbeat
patient.
And let's just say, hey, at least they're listening more.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they are. And I like I said, I have a lot more faith in this crew than I did in the previous one. And I do think overall what they're doing in Windows 10 is great. Just speaking of just the PC parts of it that we've seen, it's great.
Yeah.
The OneDrive thing was a little bit of a, you know, it was like someone throwing a banana peel in front of you. It was a little surprising.
Okay. But not the end of the world yet.
No, Leo, it is the end of the world. That's the problem.
Mary Jo Patrick is in your audience. He's also in the chat room. He says, you have been on stage for 1 hour here in Sweden in front of about 1,000-plus people, and not once have you said Hadoop.
He's very disappointed.
He's very disappointed.
What am I thinking? Maybe I'll have to do it tomorrow somehow.
It's got to be a jet lag thing.
Yeah.
It is. I think it's a jet lag.
The Hadoop will arrive tomorrow. Okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, lots more to talk about. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. She's with us from Stockholm, Sweden, where she's at the Microsoft Tech Days event, and we'll have more about that in just a little bit. Our show today brought to you by our good friends at lynda.com. If you need to learn how to use software, if you need to learn pretty much almost anything, lynda.com is a great place to go. You can see I'm learning arrays in Swift. that's an old one. Dreamweaver CS4 new features. That's an old one. I can probably dump that. Excel training. And, of course, Bert Monroy's incredible pieces. If you want to learn Photoshop, if you want to learn photography, if you want to learn how to use Microsoft Office, Excel data mining fundamentals, EPUBs, creating them from a Word document, QuickBooks Pro 2015 essential training, QuickBooks advanced bookkeeping techniques. These are all classes at lynda.com. They work with the best in the industry to provide timely training. Often they work with the companies themselves to get same day versions. Same day training on the new versions or when the releases hit the market. That is awesome. And as you can see, we're not talking YouTube videos here. These are made in their studios, beautiful quality. This is Bert. This is so cool. I've been watching this. He's teaching us the techniques he used for his newest painting, which is called Amsterdam Mist. And you can see he's using everything. Here's how he got the images from Street View, so that he could then illustrate them in Photoshop. I mean, the thing that's amazing about Bert, he doesn't hold back. He will give you the information. He will give you the techniques that the best Photoshop master in the world knows. And that's what's great about lynda.com. It's an incredible communication between experts and you, the user, the learner. Tools include searchable transcripts, playlists. You can even get a certificate of course completion, which is fantastic. It's suitable for use on LinkedIn. Look at the library, though. Well, here's what you can do. You know, if you go to Lynda, lynda.com/windows, you can take a look at all of these amazing things. Here's the Playlist Center. These are curated playlists. I think I've got one in here, too, of incredible stuff. Explore print production workflows. Get started with digital publishing. Design a website using Muse. Create illustrations. Design games for programmers in Unity. Explore hands-on web design. Develop apps for Android, for iPads, for iPhones. Yes, for Windows Phone. Don't worry. It's all in here. When you go to lynda.com/windows, you'll get the run of the place for a week. They also have general business courses, project management simplified, collaborative design, managing a team, even overcoming your fear of public speaking. Oh, look at this. Scan and restore old photographs. Oh, that would be a great one to take. If you're a photographer, master your lenses. And these are taught by some of the best photographers, designers, programmers in the business, people who actually work in the business and yet are great teachers as well. You got to try it. At least try it for a week. Lynda.com, LYNDA.com/windows. Wait a minute. It says 10 days. They upped it. I thought it was a week. It's now 10 days. You got the run of the place. Thank you, Lynda, for doing that. That's awesome. Whether you're a beginner or advanced, they've got courses for all experience levels. Normally $25 a month to get access to over 100,000 tutorials. They also have a premium plan that gives you courses offline so you can watch them in the plane. And you can also get the instructor's materials so you can work along with them. I'm just really impressed with Lynda.com. New Lightroom just came out. And of course, they'll have, in fact, they probably already do, tips on using the new Lightroom. LYNDA.com/windows. 10 days free. Take advantage of this right now. Lynda.com. You can learn it. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. We're talking Windows. We're talking Microsoft. We're in Sweden. Talking, what is the food like in Sweden?
I've been eating a lot of fish.
A lot of
since
fish.
I'm a pescatarian.
It's perfect
so
for
that's
you.
Been good.
It's perfect,
perfect for
you.
Me. I know they do a lot of head-to-tail stuff here, so if I ate organ meats and pigs and all that, there'd probably be even more. Elk.
It's my kind of food.
And all that. Yeah. Paul would love it.
Organ meats.
Elk.
Bring me home some organ meats.
I want some elk liver, please. Right.
Looking for something in a pancreas.
It's been good. The food's been good. The drinks have been delicious. So no complaints on the food.
Good. Good. Yeah. It's perfect for you. I forgot. Their fish there is incredible.
Yep.
Good.
Really good.
Good, good, good. All right. Let's move on. Are we done with the complaining about...
Leo, these are legitimate criticisms. Actually,
yeah,
let me mention one more thing, and this is not not a criticism. No, this is actually an aspect of this story that really isn't getting discussed. If you do use OneDrive in Windows 8.1, or had used it in the earlier builds of Windows 10, or if you use OneDrive for Business for that matter, which again is a completely different sync engine, chances are you've seen some weird reliability stability problems of your own, right? I have to say, when you cut OneDrive back to the simpler Windows 7 style client, those problems go away. And so one of the things I had noticed on my computers would be, and I noticed this because I use a lot of different computers. And so you might have two or three laptops in your desktop computer, and each one of them had a different sync problem. You know, you'd open it up, it would check for changes, it would make a couple of downloads or uploads. And then it would say, it would have a little bang on it. You'd check and say, this file, for some reason, can't upload to the cloud. And I used to spend a lot of time manually fixing those things across all my computers. And I actually think, they haven't really said it this way, but I actually think that if those problems weren't fixable, they were, in fact, a huge problem. And that having this one unique system, while all of the rest of the OneDrive clients worked differently, maybe was part of the problem. And so I actually think there are real reasons why they changed this, not just to make life easier for them, but because the system they had in place, as good as it kind of was, also had some issues.
Okay. Enough said. Look at you, Mary Jo.
No. It's all good.
All right, let's move on. The Nokia is not... out of the tablet business. People sang the praises of the 2520. Everybody said, Leo, you should have purchased a 2520. That was the RT tablet, right?
Yeah.
But now they've got a new one, the N1. A lot of excitement around this. It's Android. Of course it's Android, right?
It's not even the same people or the same company.
It's not,
or the,
it's you not know. Nokia?
Well, no, I mean, the people that made the 2520 had nothing to do with the...
Well, and they're probably at Microsoft, right?
They are at Microsoft. Yeah. Or not all of them, but a lot of them probably, right?
Right. So it's basically, it's cheap. It looks like...
Well, but first of all, bullet point one, it's fictional.
Oh, it doesn't exist.
No, I mean, they're not selling this until next year in China first, and then they're going to look at the rest of the world. And by the way, they're not even doing it themselves. Foxconn is doing it. So this is really like a Polaroid Zenith kind of thing where they're licensing their name and their industrial design and some patents and things.
I got to tell you, we had somebody come by on Sunday on Twit. In fact, it's on our Twit specials feed. Nicholas Charbonnier, he's Charbax. He does a ARM... armdesigns.net, I think, blog. And he goes to China regularly, like every couple of months, and picks up these clones and so forth.
That's
great. And he said, get ready because, you know, you're going to see an onslaught of very inexpensive tablets in China and eventually leaking over here that look just like an iPad. They're many of the same parts.
One of them will have the Polaroid name on it.
Right. One of them had the same screen part actually as an iPad. Looked exactly the
same. Well, by the way, this... And one Android tablet has the same screen as an iPad mini. It is literally the same.
Well, it's the same company that makes the iPad mini.
Yeah, it's the same, but it's this. I believe it is exactly the same screen. Right. And if you compare that device visually to an iPad mini, I mean, seriously, I mean, this would not pass any bar. If Samsung is being prevented from making their devices in the United States, they would have a hard time selling this here. It's such an obvious.
Well, he brought us clone iPhone clones that are almost indistinguishable. They're running Android in its skin in such a way it looks just like iOS.
Right. It's really actually kind of interesting.
It's an interesting business. But what's interesting about this is it's not an ARM processor. It's an Intel Atom processor.
Right.
Yep.
Is there a possibility you could see a Windows version of this? I mean, isn't Microsoft giving away Windows? Just as, I mean, the reason they use Android is it's free. They're giving away Windows for screen sizes.
By the way, the thought of a 4x3 Windows tablet with no fan that looks exactly like an iPod mini has certain people doing somersaults right now.
Really?
You know, that would be, that would be very interesting to a certain crowd. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it's those kids who are sitting in your audience right now.
They all wow.
Yeah, they're all high-fiving each other.
Yeah. So what is the reasoning behind this? Is this Nokia saying, see, we're not dead yet? Or did they really literally just license the name?
They said a week ago they were going to be licensing their brand to other OEMs. They also said they'd license their patents and various technologies to other OEMs. But the part of this I'm not sure of, and maybe Paul knows, is who is actually going to sell this? Like Foxconn's making it. But
Foxconn's going to sell it too. They are responsible for selling it.
There's not another OEM that Foxconn is supplying? Because
Sorry. Yeah. It's not Nokia, though. Yeah.
Right. People were saying there is an OEM who is going to be the one selling these, but it wasn't clear to me that OEM is Foxconn.
Okay. By the way, that's fair because that's the Nokia press releases. That's how they word it. And so I think the assumption was that. They never mentioned Foxconn. Foxconn had come out in some other report. Maybe they said it in the event they were at. I didn't follow that. But I think the assumption here was that Foxconn was taking that step that so many other companies of their ilk had taken in the past, you know, Asus, for example, of going from a builder to ODM to we're just going to sell these things, you know, ourselves. And maybe that isn't happening. I'm not sure. But
no, we'd heard that Foxconn was doing this. So
yeah.
Not just for this, but in general.
Yeah, and there'll be more of these things, and maybe they won't all be Foxconn. I think there's a real risk of destroying the brand, though, with this stuff.
Now you know why there's no Nokia on the back of the new, what is it, the 830?
Absolutely.
It says Microsoft, not Nokia, because you don't want the confusion. So obviously Microsoft knew about this.
Although, there is going to be a Nokia brand logo on the small phones, right? The phones,
the
100 series or whatever they are. Yeah.
Because that's a valuable brand, and in the developing nations, I would do that.
Right, yeah. And you know, probably Microsoft is paying to license the brand from Nokia.
Well, I thought they had the rights to use Nokia, the word Nokia, first.
Yeah, they do. On those
they do
phones,
for a set number of times.
Yeah.
A set number of times. But I, last week when I read what the Nokia CEO said they would and wouldn't do, I'm pretty sure he said they would not do any licensing. No, he said they would not make their own smartphones. But I don't know if that means he wouldn't license any of their technology to other smartphone companies.
Yeah,
they're
right.
Licensing here maps, right? They're licensing that to a lot of different players.
In fact, I think a lot of the patent, whatever they refer to it as, IP licensing that went into this is obviously related to smartphones and wireless devices and you know, I'm sure is some kind of, you know, indemnity against Microsoft suing them over Android, you know, infringing on their own patents and so forth.
Yeah. Right. You can bet Nokia, the company that's still called Nokia, is paying Microsoft Android patent licensing royalties.
Yes.
I would guarantee they are.
Well, just, and you use the word Polaroid. Yeah, it's Polaroid's been doing this too, right?
I can't wait to get a Nokia DVD player.
I want a Packard Bell DVD player.
Yeah.
There are hints they're going to make a set-top box, right? Or that they're going to license their technology to somebody making one.
Is Nokia out of the manufacturing business? Did all the factories go to Microsoft? I think they did.
Yep. I think they did.
So they have no hardware capability.
Yeah, because so all that stuff was related to the old business of Nokia, you know, making handsets and so forth. That was Nokia's differentiator. It turned out to be kind of an albatross because, you know, Apple proved this best of all that, you know, you don't make this stuff yourself. You ship it out to the place that can do it the cheapest and still maintain the quality levels that you want. And, you know, they were just big and top heavy. And so now they're doing that. You know, the new management Nokia has clearly figured it out. I mean, they're not going to build up that infrastructure again. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I wouldn't want to be in the tablet business, the low-end tablet business, because China's just going to – companies like Foxconn can undercut anybody in the world, including easily Apple.
Oh,
Apple doesn't care because Apple
Samsung
wants
from underneath. You know?
Yeah, look at Samsung. Yeah. Literally, you're right. They're being eaten from the foundations are being eaten away. It's like termites.
Yep.
What is this La Jolla tablet you've got in the notes here? What is this?
So speaking of Nokia, right, if I'm not mistaken, isn't this a group of disgruntled former Nokians that –
Sailfish.
Oh, is that them?
It's Sailfish.
I think that's them, isn't it? They're in Finland.
I couldn't remember their name. I couldn't remember the name of that company. I wrote about them, but I should look them up.
I think it's them
just because they're
OS.
In Finland. And if you watch this video, I think it's the one you're showing now, the music that's playing sounds exactly like the music that Nokia always had playing in all of their videos and things.
And the great news is the hardware.
It looks like a Nokia phone.
We're now selling in 31 countries and counting.
Look, factories. Beat up old factories.
Yep. Come on inside. I have something new to show you.
Mark Dillion, do you know that name?
It is Sailfish OS. Yeah, it is. Former Nokia employees.
Okay.
Yola tablet.
Yola, they're pronouncing it.
This is like hipster Europe edition.
Yeah. I like the origami swan on the cover. What's not to like about that?
It's just a dream.
Look at this. This looks so much
like a
1520 or a
Yola community.
Yola.
You tell us what you want, and we'll do everything we can to make it happen.
So that's in California. That would be Hoya.
Yeah, I was just sort of contemplating that.
Yeah. But
the Yola tablet's display is as high end.
So it runs Android apps.
You're gonna love it.
It's Android based. It's not a completely
different. Okay, so it's an Android fork then.
Yeah, and I think that's the important.
Designed in Finland. Look, it's running Clash of Clans. That's all I care.
The multitasking on this.
And there's Angry Birds, but it's a wallpaper. Let's point that out.
Yeah.
That's kind of clever semiotics there. Well, we have Angry Birds wallpaper.
I'm sure they have the real thing, too.
Yeah.
Please support our campaign.
So it's crowdfunding.
Join our community.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's show the big companies that independence.
Let's show the big companies.
People matter.
So it's funny. These are this company and obviously Nokia are essentially like splinter groups, you know, from the original Nokia. It's really strange.
I think that's the Dread Pirate Roberts that's running the company.
Yeah. It's like when your favorite band breaks up and they all go solo.
I know. It's just not the same.
I recognize hints of the old stuff in this thing.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not exactly the same.
Yeah.
Is it pronounced YOLO? You only live once? No. YOLA. No. You only live in Finland.
Yeah, twice in twice. Finland.
Crowdsourced tablet.
Crowdfunded, I guess.
Yeah. It says sourced on here, so.
I miswrote that.
Sorry. No. On their page.
Oh, that says it on their page.
Yeah. So you didn't miswrite it. That you're towing the party line.
There you go.
It is the world's first truly crowdsourced tablet. Does that mean the parts?
Yeah. So
are
I assume what they want people to do is contribute money, and if they get enough of it, they'll make it.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I had to resist my natural urge to buy everything. You know, because I see something like oh, cool, it's something shiny and new, and it's shaped like a tablet.
When my Jibo comes in about 8 years, you're going to be jealous. That's the robot that sits on your table and looks at you. And
sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I buy everything. I kind of got out of that habit.
It's easy to fall into.
Moving on.
Mary Jo's like, no, it isn't.
Mary Jo doesn't honestly own a TV.
Yeah. I don't.
And you're some
so
sort of
I'm not,
Quaker.
I'm some sort of freak.
Some sort of
I know. Luddites. I don't go out and buy a lot of gadgets. I don't have room for them. You guys know that.
That's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
That's the way to do it.
I was thinking today as I was showering, I just want a white room with a bed and maybe a window. And that's it.
You want like THX1138.
Yeah, or the asylum. Where they're about to commit me.
Right. Actually, that room can be arranged, Leo.
I didn't notice whether the walls were padded, but now that I think of it.
Yeah. Comfortable is always better than uncomfortable.
Yeah.
We can all agree to that.
Yeah. And I'll wear the same clothes every day.
Who would ever do that?
Office 365. We've got Mark in here. That's his business. That's his job. Yep. His whole family wearing Microsoft gear. Drake, their son, has a Cortana shirt. Noah, their son, has a Windows 8 shirt. Even Mei Ling, how old are you, Mei Ling? 8 years old, and she's got a Microsoft shirt. She says she uses Surface.
I have to say, those kids are a little too enthusiastic about Microsoft. It's suspicious.
They do seem awfully happy, the whole bunch of them. Maybe they're just glad to be out of St. Louis in the winter. That might be something to do with it. Yeah. Office 365 video service. This is an enterprise thing, right? What is this?
Oh, it's actually Paul's thing.
Paul, I'm looking at you, and it's Paul.
Yeah, I don't. I only have a small business premium account that will be upsized to whatever they call it now, business premium or something. So I don't actually have access to this.
But we had the first thing that came out, and then they changed it all underneath us, right?
Yeah, but this is enterprise SKU, and I guess the academic SKUs that map to the enterprise SKUs. But basically, it's a video service, like a YouTube type thing for inside your enterprise.
Oh.
Works with all the permissions and everything. It's got a nice little back-end hook into Azure Media Services so that if you upload video to the service, it will transcode the videos in the background so that when you hit the site from different types of devices, it will serve the one that's appropriate for your bandwidth and for the type of machine that you have. I don't have it, so I can't really see what this looks like, but there's apparently a mobile app that also you can upload videos directly from your phone as well.
This is interesting.
It is. The other interesting tie-in is Office Mix, which is that new application they built that's kind of also a video-inspired PowerPoint-type application, mainly for the educational audience. So that's tied in. And the other cool thing is the Office Graph, which is the machine learning piece that's powering Delve, which is Microsoft's intra-company search app. That also is inside of this new video service. So we've been wondering, what else was Microsoft going to use Office Graph for? And here's another example where it's going to show.
By the way, we could make... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, if you have a bunch of videos, it'll surface the ones that are applicable to a specific meeting that you have or a certain group of people who all want to talk about the same set of videos. Office
that's
Graph.
That's an iPhone. Get that off of the screen.
Figure that out.
It's all good, Leo. This is the new Microsoft.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whew. I know, right. Whew. Yeah. It's Microsoft.
This announcement was like Office 365 bingo. You know, they hit on every buzzword imaginable. It's like Delve, Yammer, SharePoint.
Yeah, every product name.
iPhone.
They did. Yeah,
you know,
all in
Mix.
One post.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What?
It's crazy. It's like bing, 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 bing. You know, triple
when
word
we
score.
Upload, when you upload those great 30-second, I blew everybody up in Call of Duty, that's upload, right? What's that? Is that a Microsoft service?
Yeah, that's for the Xbox 360. Yeah.
And it's probably using Azure as well, right? I wonder if they got some... they learned some stuff.
I'm sure it is, actually. Yeah, I mean, they talked that up a lot when the Xbox One launched, and it really hasn't come up a lot, you know, since then. But they've got this Azure thing sitting on the back end for the Xbox One. Yeah, I would imagine.
I saw an ad. I think it was Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. For Azure.
For Azure, really.
And they talked about Titanfall and how it was the first game using the Azure back end. Right. But it was an ad for Microsoft Cloud Services.
Well, I guess Microsoft has made the Azure backend available to developers to use as they will, you know, in their games. And I think that was the point. Because that one, you know, that game came out back in, I don't know, March or something?
Yeah,
February, March.
Now, yeah. Interesting. I mean, so what they're doing, I mean, they're really doing is filling out their services here.
I'm sure the ad said something like, listen, we know you're looking at AWS, but before you sign the check.
But I do I find this very interesting, this video, sir, this YouTube-like video service designed for enterprise.
Yeah.
This makes a lot of sense.
And I guess this is going to be the first of a series of what they're calling next-gen portals, if you're a SharePoint user, you're familiar with the term portal, that take advantage of these new office and the cloud services that they can mesh together in different ways. And this is kind of a peek at how those things will evolve.
Do you think this will go beyond the enterprise, this video service?
That's a good question. I mean, Microsoft tends to bring things down market.
Yeah, we cover all the time. Oh, Yahoo's is working on, they've not launched it, but they're working on a YouTube clone, blah, blah, blah. And meanwhile, in the background, Microsoft, this would be a very interesting stealth way to do
it from the enterprise side. Honestly, I think the dividing line is literally small business to what I guess what we're calling a mid-sized business, right? That if you are a small business, like a real small business, 25 or fewer users, you know, you're probably going to share videos on OneDrive or YouTube or something like that. The point of this service is that it lets your Active Directory-based permissions come into play. You can determine who can upload video. You can determine who sees those videos based on user groups and so forth. I mean, there's a dividing line rather between kind of smaller businesses which tend to be loosely managed at best or just unmanaged, and then traditionally managed businesses, which we're going to call the enterprise, that have this kind of infrastructure in place. And so I think, yeah, maybe eventually, but it kind of, you can understand why it makes sense to put it here first.
And OneDrive for Business coming to Office Pro Plus. I don't even know what Pro Plus is. What is
Office? Oh, Leo, I'm going to spend another 2 hours on this topic.
What is Office Pro Plus? What is that?
Yeah.
I'm going to let Mary Jo do this one because I'll go insane if I have to explain this.
So, in the beginning,
Office Pro Plus.
There was a Microsoft Office thing. You'd buy a box. It would have in it 38 floppy disks.
Yep.
And it would install Office, and that would be it until the next version came out. Maybe you'd get some updates. Then they started offering a web-based Office that was free that they called, I think I'm right on this, Office 365, right?
Mm-mm.
No? Web Office? Office for the web?
It's Office Web Apps. It was Office Online at one time. Okay. Actually, it's Office Online today.
Still Office Online.
What was the first Office 365? Was that an actual Office
version? No, this was a Business Productivity Online Suite, BPOS.
BPOS. That's it.
Great.
It was Exchange Server BPOS. Online, Exchange Online, SharePoint Online.
Right.
And eventually Link Online. I think it was... whatever that used to be called.
And then they did a little sleight of hand, and they started offering what I thought was great, the subscription Office 365, which included Word, Excel, PowerPoint.
So actually that cuts to what this is. So I was going to let Mary Jo do this. I'm sorry.
I can explain what Office 365 Pro Plus is, I think. So it's a subscription SKU. It's $12 per user per month, and you get in it downloadable versions of all of the Office apps. So you get Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, OneNote, Publisher, Access, and Link Client, I think. All of those. So you can download those locally. And you also can run the free Office apps from the cloud on tablets, PCs, and phones. Right? No, that's Office Online you get. And then Office on PC, tablets, and phones. I'm not sure about that. It's the high-end SKU if you're looking at what on the client side you can subscribe to with Office 365.
So unfortunately, they've really mucked things around with this because there are many different SKUs of Office 365. Some of them are just the online services, some of the online services plus the apps. This one was unique in that it was just the apps, right? So you didn't get access to the online services part. Yep. And that made sense for a little while. And then, this year they changed all the small and medium business SKUs. And now they have another SKU that's just like this. Very small difference. I think it was just a difference between which apps are included. I want to say the sort of new version of this, even though they're selling them side by side, it's like Office 365 Business, I think. I could be wrong about that. I don't remember
the exact name. There's three new Office 365 SKUs that are for small business that they announced earlier this year.
We need
the guy in the audience who works for Office 365.
So, Pro Plus includes two applications.
Mark, could you explain this, Mark? I think Mei Ling can explain this.
I got this one.
Okay.
Pro Plus includes two applications, Access and Link, that are not found in Office 365 Business. And so the difference between the two is a couple bucks per month. It's actually about $45 a year, though. And I think with Office 365 Pro Plus, there's an annual commitment. So you literally have to pay for the year, whereas the other SKUs you can pay per month. I'm just confused that it's still there, because they have this other thing that's very similar, and it seems like there's a lot of overlap there. But
the kids have explained, Drake and Noah and Mei Ling have explained to me how this all works. And after the show... Okay.
We'll go over that.
But here's the thing. So, Leo, just to go back to the beginning of this, when Office 365 Pro Plus dates back basically to the beginning of what we call Office 365, it was application-based, like she said, subscription service. So there's no online part of it, service part of it. This year, when they bumped up OneDrive for business to 1 terabyte of storage from probably 7 or 25, I can't remember, gigabytes, they said that that Office 365 Pro Plus customers were going to get access to OneDrive for Business by the end of the year. So this week they announced that's still happening. It might take until January for some customers, but now they're going to get unlimited storage as well. So they're also on the unlimited storage bandwagon that's happening. If that makes sense.
Mei Ling, did Daddy have more hair before all of this happened?
No, right?
No. She says no.
Nice. You're going to get a Yola tablet next.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break. More to come. Surface update. We're going to talk about Surface. And speaking of updates, the big Windows RT 8.1 roll-up.
It's like a Tootsie roll-up.
Yum. But first, a word from our good friends at Citrix. They make so many great products for people who need to get business done. One of the things that happens in business, of course, is email attachments. Attachments happen, and not a good thing. Because, frankly, as you've heard me say so many times, don't open attachments. Don't send attachments. That's how malware gets sent. That's not all. I mean, attachments are also problematic in other ways. Everything that you send through the email is, unless it's encrypted, is public. Oh, yeah, you're using PGP at the office. Sure you are. No, you're not. so everybody can see what you're sending. I don't care what disclaimers you put at the bottom of the email. If this is not for you, please don't read this. Please, I beg you. And, of course, there's the larger issue of these files. They're getting bigger and bigger, and bounce backs have become a real problem. Citrix ShareFile solves all of the above. It lets you share files in business, contracts and spreadsheets and presentations, all those giant media files, to collaborate with coworkers and clients, to get the job done securely, reliably, without spreading malware. State-of-the-art encryption, you bet, built in. It integrates beautifully with Microsoft Outlook. They've got a plugin that makes it look like an email attachment, but it's not. You're sending a secure link. And furthermore, you control who has access. They have permissions. You can say this can be downloaded once, twice, 100 times, never. Well, that would be silly. Once at least. You can say for how long. You can control who can access the file. And you can access your ShareFile folders from anywhere, your laptop, your tablet, your smartphone. I use ShareFile to send audio messages to the radio station. In fact, today's my ShareFile day. I record stuff, send it off to the radio stations. Some of the people receiving these are not the most sophisticated users. So that's good because ShareFile makes it really easy for them. They don't have to log in. They don't have to have a ShareFile account. They'll get a link in the email that they can click, a secure link. They'll see my logo. It's branded with your branding. And they get a big button that says download. They tell them what it is. If it's multiple files, it automatically zips them for you so you don't have to. ShareFile has so many nice features. HIPAA compliant if you're in the medical business. Compliant with regulations in many industries. In fact, when you sign up, I want you to go to ShareFile.com and click the podcast listeners link at the top. Don't be afraid. What they'll do is they'll ask you for the offer code. Use the offer code Windows, and you're going to get 30 days free so you can show your boss, your clients. You can try it yourself. The offer code is Windows, 30 days free. And they do give you the chance to customize it for your biz, and I would because there's all sorts of nice things that they can offer. For instance, if you're in the legal business, but this happened to me on the radio show, a lawyer called and said, I want my clients to send me pictures of the auto accident because we're going after the insurance company. How can they easily share those pictures with me? And I said, ShareFile. There's a request button in ShareFile that says, I would like some files from you. And it makes, again, even if your users are not sophisticated, it makes it so easy for them to send you files. Just one of many wonderful things about ShareFile. Automatic synchronization. So I have a ShareFile folder on my desktop. I save the audio files there. They're automatically sent to the ShareFile cloud. I can get to them anytime, send a message anytime with those files. Really is easy. ShareFile.com. I invite you to visit. Click the podcast listeners. Please click the podcast listeners button at the very top of the page there so we get credit. Paul and Mary Jo get credit when you use the offer code Windows. 30 days free. ShareFile.com. We go back to Stockholm.
Leo, by the way, who is the TriCaster on Twitter? Is that Alex?
I'm hoping, I don't know, that it's somebody on our team. Why? Is he tweeting at you?
Because there's an awesome, he tweeted a picture of Baghdad Bob in front of the OneDrive explanation.
That's got to be Alex.
Priceless.
Baghdad Bob. Is this the
user? Remember the guy from the Iraq government? He was standing in the bombed out parts of the city. He's like, oh, everything's fine. We're beating back the Americans.
So here's a few pictures. Here's Mary Jo Foley. It's not me. It's not you, Alex? He swears it's not him.
Liar.
I know who it is.
It's I don't know. Nice. They haven't told me. There's the vast audience. Room for more if anybody's watching and wants to head over to Stockholm.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good-looking bunch, though.
I know. It's 9 p.m. here, too.
Yeah.
It's been a long day.
And there's beer next door, so.
I was going to say, look like they're ready to ply you with alcohol.
Yeah. And lutefisk.
I'm drinking one right now.
Alcohol and lutefisk. It's great. You're going to be so happy. Is this it for Baghdad Bob? No. Anyway, I don't see that tweet, but maybe I'll.
I retweeted it, so you could look at my
I might have
Twitter
blocked
stream.
It.
Oh, geez, maybe it's a.
I blocked the.
Maybe it's an outside entity.
Who is it? I was sure it was Alex. Who is the?
I still think it is Alex. Much like you think he's Bruce Wayne is Batman.
Yeah, no, it's not me. It's not me. Here's a full link from our chat room. to We Love the Iraqi Information Minister.com. What? Is he still around, Baghdad Bob?
I hope so. He was fantastic.
All right. Anyway, I don't know what's going on. Jammer B says it's not Alex, but it is someone at Twitter. They keep stuff for me, you know.
Yeah.
Do they?
I would.
I would if I were them. Moving along, Surface Pro 3 updates. Who wants to take this one? You both
Mary
use the Surface,
talk,
right?
I'm sorry.
I can take it. So Microsoft this week issued some updates for the Surface Pro 3. They came out today, in fact. There was rumor they might have come out yesterday, but it was today. And there's a list of them. There's some firmware updates, some UEFI updates. There's a pen settings driver update. But the one that we're kind of focused on is Microsoft is still trying to fix connectivity on the Surface Pro 3. So they've got yet another attempt. This time it's enables better throughput after waking from sleep and connecting to 802.11 AC networks. They haven't been able to completely lick the wireless problems on the Surface Pro 3 yet, and I don't know if this one will either. I know there are people who've had problems when they're running Hyper-V on Surface Pro 3 with network connectivity. I don't think this does anything about that, although Paul might know if he's tested that yet.
I don't think that's going to come until Windows 10. But
me neither. I don't think it is either. But yeah, what's interesting to me is they're still doing updates to the Surface Pro 3 on a fairly regular basis. They didn't do this one on Patch Tuesday, which was last Tuesday. But they haven't done any updates in a month or two, or in some cases much longer, to the other Surfaces. So we haven't seen Surface RT update, Surface Pro update, or a Surface 2 update in a while. And I'm not sure if we will continue to see those or won't, because right now the flagship device for Microsoft is the Surface Pro 3. And that seems to be where they're putting all their eggs right now. That's the basket.
It's quite a basket.
Quite a big
quite
basket.
Quite a basket. Yes. Yep. But at least, you know, they're still updating this one. We don't know when the next Surface will come out from Microsoft. My bet is when it does, it'll probably run Windows 10. And I bet it will be an Intel-based device. I'd be very surprised if they do another ARM-based Surface. Though no one from the company has said they are discontinuing those. At least as far as I know. They haven't said that publicly. That's right. Your Surface update.
That's your Surface Pro update. It's so funny because Apple is also having massive Wi-Fi issues with with their
that is funny. I'm actually kind of glad they are.
Well, I'm just wondering
not because I dislike Apple, but because it's happening a little too much with Surface.
It seems like there's something in Wi-Fi that just makes it hard to do right.
Yeah.
Oh, there absolutely is. Yeah definitely. Yeah. It's that situation when you go to a trade show and you can't just add more routers. That's not the solution. Right. You have to deal with bandwidth
RF
contention.
And, RF is tricky.
Yeah.
Radio.
But you know what's interesting? On my Windows 8.1 laptop that I have here, I don't really have those issues. I always have pretty excellent Wi-Fi connectivity, and mostly it doesn't drop. So it makes me wonder, what is it in the Surface Pro 3 that is making that happen? Because we're running the same operating system, obviously.
Right.
Not sure.
They pulled an iPhone 4. They put the antenna in the outside ring or something.
Yeah. That's it. Right.
It's just, you know, I think this answers the question people ask. Well, why didn't they test this? It's
right.
So many possible. RF is spooky.
Yeah.
It's analog. Right. And it's not digital. And so analog is tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's radio waves.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Speaking of updates, the mega Windows RT 8.1 roll-up.
It's
not a fruit roll-up, kids. Don't get excited.
It isn't.
No.
It isn't. There was a giant roll-up. Was it today or yesterday that this came out for Windows 8.1? And there's, you know, what's interesting, and I wondered this when it hit my machine, I wonder if this is Windows 8.1 Update 3. Microsoft's not calling it that, obviously. They stopped talking about updates after the first update, which they call just update. They don't call it Update 1, just Windows 8.1 Update. Because you remember they came out with what was really Update 2 over the summer, but they didn't call it that. They called it the August update. And now this one that came out today, it's a cumulative roll-up, but it has a lot of features in it. There's I'm looking for the list here. There's a lot of performance and reliability, additional hardware support, improved manageability. There's more security fixes around the scannel hardening problem. So there's things that make me think this isn't just another update. And I think Paul said on Twitter, this is how Microsoft gets around the idea now of service packs. They do these giant cumulative updates periodically for Windows 8. And they don't call them service packs, but that's kind of what they are.
Yeah, and sometime in the past week, I think maybe it was a tip or a pick or something last week, there was a Microsoft had finally released downloadable ISO versions of Windows 8.1.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of improvements in just them being there was an improvement. But, you know, you could use a Windows 8.0 key to install that. It's something you could not do in the past. Very nice. But it also had integrated into it up to date, through the Update 2 release, which was from August, I think. Right, August, yeah. And I think the theory here basically is, especially for businesses where they want to deploy these releases down to computers, what these cumulative type updates give you, these update roll-ups, is the ability to have a baseline install and you can plug this into it. And so if you were to clean install a computer today, you'd basically be up to date. There would probably be a couple of Defender updates or small things, but it sort of serves the point of a service pack.
Yeah, it does.
I think that might be the rationale behind this kind of thing.
Could be. Yep. Okay. But anyway, if you haven't downloaded it yet, it's big. It'll take you some time. I forget how big this thing is.
How big is big? Megabytes, gigabytes, petabytes, terabytes.
You don't really see. The thing is, most people don't actually need it, right? In other words, it's not, you know.
You don't have to have it, right?
You don't have to have it. If you've been updating your system all along,
you won't get it.
On the fly, you don't need it.
Yeah. I get it.
It's for late, you know, if you want to.
It's what we used to call a service pack.
This gives you the ability to update this thing offline.
Yeah.
And so you could get your computer up to date with these this type of update roll-up.
Right.
Get online, then get a Windows update.
Why do people not like the word service pack? Because this is a service pack. Right?
Yeah.
No, Leo, it's an update package.
It's a roll-up.
I don't understand why you don't get it, Leo. It's so obviously not a service pack. It doesn't say service pack anywhere.
Anywhere.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know.
No. Nor does it call itself an update, except cumulative updates.
It doesn't even use the word update. Interesting.
It just says cumulative update, but not like update 3, which is what I wonder if this is. I can't prove that it is, but I don't know.
Well,
maybe not.
It's all it's just nomenclature, right?
It is, but you know, it bears a lot because they're trying to change the way they deliver Windows updates to people and how people think about staying up to date. They're being careful about calling something an update,
right,
versus calling it a service pack or a roll up or whatever. Right. The wording means something. Yeah,
something we don't know what, but something.
Yeah, well, the wording means something.
It doesn't. So I said it's basically or sort of a service pack. It doesn't reset the support timeline, for example, right?
No.
And so I agree. It's basically just semantics, but there was a formal understanding of what a service pack meant to the life cycle of that OS or whatever, and that's different for this, and maybe that is part of the point as well.
Yeah. So, bottom line, if you install a new version of Windows 8.1, you could put all of the updates on it at once with the
offline. Yep,
with the fruit roll-up.
Yep.
Yeah.
The fruit roll.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So you download the ISO. That's up to date through August.
Right.
You apply this to it. That's up to date through November. I think
through November. Yeah.
And pretty much, you probably have a handful of little things. You can get Zune in there or whatever you need, and then you're good to go.
Speaking of updates, there's an update for the update for the IAS. So IAS had a serious bug in the S channel, the security channel for the server, and we talked again about it yesterday. They're apparently
they did.
Yeah, the patch went out, and then they patched the patch like they did out of cycle patch on earlier this week. So just so you know, but you know, it's all good. It's all good.
Yep.
If it were Apple, they'd call it a fruit roll-up. Microsoft, I can't call it
an eye roll-up.
So we are going to ask our live audience if you want to get them ready for questions, Mary Jo, in just a second.
Okay.
This is Windows Weekly, a coverage of the second largest company in the world. And that's that sounds like faint praise. But
it sounded like a little bit of a dig, Leo. But
but Microsoft just passed Exxon as the second most stock-wise, the second most valuable company in the world. That's good.
I hope to live to see a day when Exxon isn't even in the top 10.
I know.
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
Is it the Exxon's going down or Microsoft's going up?
that's a fair question. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, you know, Apple's number one. If you know, and then there's, but this is all based on stock price.
It is.
But I, you know, I should check.
It's market cap, isn't it?
Because as long as market cap based on stock price. As long as I've been covering Microsoft, as long as you've been covering Microsoft, the stock has been fairly. some would say stable.
We would call it a flat line if it was a patient.
Some would say
it would have been made into glue if it was a horse.
But I'm going to actually go look and see if it's been going up a little bit because that would be good. No, it hasn't.
Yes. Never mind. The Nadella effect.
Yeah.
Wait. They were close to $50 the other day.
Oh, yeah, it actually has. Look at
man,
that.
Man, that's been a while since they were near that.
That ain't bad. That's a nice, that's the 1 year growth. So it started the November 19th, 2013 at $36.74. Got as
see
high
that little
as $49.
Dip at the end? Yeah. See that little dip?
Yeah.
That's probably when they announced the OneDrive thing.
Yeah. That's what you get, Microsoft.
I knew it.
I know it.
Oh, man.
No, they've had a very, the last 12 months been great.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, one last ad, then we're going to get to the back of the book and questions from Sweden.
Okay.
Preferably in English.
No, they must be in Swedish.
They must be in Swedish.
They must be. We will only accept Swedish questions, and then we're going
to
ask the Houghton
family
to
prove
to translate.
Their citizenship.
Our show today. Are you looking for a new employee? Well, if you are, our show today brought to you by ZipRecruiter. We use this and we're very, very happy. The issue, of course, is it's not hard now to post a job listing. There are more than 50 job boards out there. But what's the right place to find the right candidate? One place isn't enough. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. ZipRecruiter.com. You could post to 50-plus job sites, including social sites like Craigslist and LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, all with one single click of the mouse. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. You post once and you will watch your qualified candidates roll into their easy-to-use interface. It's nice because you don't have to worry about, you know, jamming your email inbox or getting the phone calls right to your office. This ZipRecruiter handles it so that you can quickly screen the candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. This is such a great solution. Such a great solution. I want you to try it. We were very happy with our results. That's why we set up a 4-day free trial for you at ZipRecruiter.com/windows. When you go there, they'll know that you saw this on Windows Weekly. It's a good way to show Paul and Mary Jo your support. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. This is the easiest, fastest, best way to get that right person in that job right away. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. You're going to love it.
I know we did.
Let us get back to Sweden. Mary Jo Foley is there for the big Tech Days, Shaping the Future. I think it's techdays.se is the website. And there she is. She's shaping the future.
The future.
Beautifully done.
She's like a mime.
The future. It's in whiteface.
Yes. So we have some people who want to ask questions. So I'm going to get the question and I'll just read them to you guys.
All right.
And tell you what they want to know.
Perfect.
Okay. Hold on.
Okay. So my question is, how important is the Surface as a device that Microsoft sells compared to what kind of infuser it is for the rest of the industry or other companies to create tablet-like devices.
So how important is it to Microsoft?
How important is the Surface?
Or to the industry?
Is it more important as a device that Microsoft sells and earns money from compared to...
Oh, I see what you're asking.
Yeah,
okay.
We can kind of hear it, actually. We kind of heard it.
Okay, could you? Good.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because he wants to know... you know, is the Surface more important as a device, like a money-making device for Microsoft, or is it more like an inspiration and like an innovation, right? Am I explaining that well?
Well, it is close to a negative billion-dollar business, so I think that's important.
Yeah. Right. I mean, Microsoft, we believe, has been losing money with the Surface, but we don't know that for sure because they aren't saying how many Surfaces they've sold. We know they took a write-down of $900 million on the Surface RT. The one
that was like a year and a half ago. I mean,
it was a year and a half ago, right?
Well, but you're digging yourself out of a $1 billion hole.
You are. You're digging yourself out of a hole. But you know, are they going to keep making Surfaces? Do they think it's important enough to the company going forward to have like an inspirational device, something that really showcases Windows?
Yep.
Good question, right? I mean,
well,
Nadella hasn't been that bullish about hardware, right?
Oh, I thought he had explicitly addressed this. No, today.
He did, but I feel like the fact they haven't rolled out any more Surfaces since the Surface Pro 3 may indicate something. I don't know. Killed the Surface Mini.
Mini.
Or at least postponed it.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm a little.
We've been asking that question since the day they came out with it.
Yeah. I know we have.
But it was a significant risk.
Now.
For Microsoft to go into the PC business, they'd never done that before against their OEMs, you know, competing with their OEMs.
That worked out great. I don't think anyone got upset with them or anything. So,
well,
no worries,
but you know
there.
What? You're being facetious, obviously. But, you know, here we are a couple of years later. It's not like they've lost a lot. I mean, people are still making
PCs.
Well,
actually, Leo, so by the way, seriously on that topic, here we are 2 years later, and Microsoft had to release $0 Windows licensing to counteract the Chromebooks that every single one of their partners has released since they made Surface.
Yeah.
So actually, I think we could credit Surface with $0 Windows licensing ultimately. I mean, it's kind of an obvious cause and effect type thing right there.
Okay, let's take another question.
Favorite totally new feature in the Windows 10 preview?
Favorite feature?
Yeah.
Okay. Favorite feature so far in the Windows 10 preview?
That hasn't been in any other Windows version.
Favorite feature in Windows 10 preview that hasn't been in any other Windows version? Paul Theroux.
I wouldn't call this a favorite one because my favorite features in Windows were in other Windows versions. But, in the newest build, one of the new features they just released that I think is going to be a big deal, not so much for me, but, for typical users, which is going to be most people, is that Snap Assist feature, which is now enabled. And so when you snap a window, it works, which it didn't in the previous build. And then it throws up thumbnails on the other side of the screen so you can pick which other application you might want. Or you can just hit Escape and it goes away. And you go back to your normal view, and then you can automatically snap two things side by side. So, Windows 8, you may recall when you snap something, you got a blank screen, and it wasn't really clear what you had to do. You had to know, go to Start, choose another app, and then it would snap after you did that. And so I think that kind of thing, it's not a major new feature, but it's one of those things that will impact everybody that uses it. So kind of a big deal.
I don't know if you remember, when you were away one time and Dr. Pizza was on the show, Peter Bright from Ars Technica, I said on the show, I think Snap on Windows 8 is so broken and so terrible. And he just flipped out. He like completely flipped out.
Yeah, and it's probably the thing I was talking about.
I know. I'm like, it's so hard to use. It's really hard to figure out how to snap in an easy way. I mean, I know how to make the gestures to snap, but it's like you have to think about it too much. And Snap Assist really does take that away. It takes away the part where you have to go, how do I do this
again? What the heck am I doing? Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Now, I haven't used it yet, but the one feature that draws my eye is, I don't know what they call it, the workspaces, multiple workspaces.
Yeah, multiple desktops, yep.
I use that. I've used that for years in Linux. I use it in OS X. I find that a really nice way, a little bit better than snapping, a really nice way, especially with full screen apps. It kind of goes hand in hand with full screen apps to have multiple full screen apps open. I haven't used it. I don't know how well it's implemented, but I'm looking forward to that.
Yep. Yep. What else? Audience? Any?
What about you, Mary Jo?
Yeah, did she say a favorite? Did she?
A favorite?
She likes I'm the not snap.
Running, I'm not running Tech Preview because I don't have a PC to put it on. And hearing how things are becoming very unstable, I just don't have the time or
Well, Mary Jo, let me walk you through the setup of a dual boot system while we sit here and you're in Sweden. So first...
I don't want to do this. Yeah, let me set that up right now. No, I don't... I know.
No, you can do this.
I know my place here. My place is not to be a tester for the
Sure.
I'll be a tester on the consumer preview because I'm a consumer.
Were you ever... You used a Surface Pro 3. Were you ever tempted to buy one?
Me, I didn't really care for it that much.
Even with the lapability, it
wasn't lappable.
Okay.
No, I tried to balance it on my lap. It kept falling off. Maybe I have short legs. Maybe I don't know what. I don't know how to explain it. But I much prefer the clamshell laptop form factor still to the Surface. I just find the Surface a little too tippy and not lappable enough because I type on my lap a lot. And that's unusual, I know, but that's what I do.
You actually have a really good Windows laptop.
I have
same
a really
as I
good
use,
Windows
the Acer S7. It's just great.
Acer S7 is great. Yep. So, yeah, I don't have a favorite, except I like the idea of Snap Assist a lot because I always thought snapping was too hard.
Another question from Sweden.
Yeah. Another question? Anything. Can be anything.
When does the BS start?
When does the beer start?
Yeah, exactly. You're keeping me from beer.
Guys, anything?
No, they don't have to ask if they're shy.
I think they're just tired. It's been a long day
here. Let's just take a look at the fabulous audience one more time in beautiful Stockholm. They're celebrating a joyous day at the Microsoft Tech Day event. All right. Let's get to the back of the book. You ready to do that, guys?
Let's do it.
And thanks to everybody in Sweden, especially thanks to the fella who set this up, because you just really look great. I think the tech worked great, you know, all around.
Yeah. Michael Ardenberg.
Michael Ardenberg, thank you.
Is he there?
Yes,
well,
he is.
Bring him on
here.
In. Let him say hi.
Michael Ardenberg, come on down! There he is. I think we exchanged emails, right, Michael?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, thank
nice
you.
To talk to you finally.
Nice to talk to you. Nice job. You did a great job setting this up. I can't believe how good it looks. 10 times better than Paul.
Thank you. Yeah.
That was our goal.
Actually, I was going to ask Paul if he would like to come over here himself sometime and visit.
Yeah,
we have the world's largest LAN party here twice a year.
Oh, what game do you play?
Really? Well, they play everything. It's 16,000 people coming together twice a year and playing games for 4 days.
Wow.
Yeah, I could do that.
Wow.
I do it with a slightly smaller crowd up the street. It's more like 6 or 10 guys. But yeah, sure.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah. I really appreciate your help.
Thank you.
All right. Paul Thurrott, let's kick things off with your tip of the week.
What is my tip of the week? Oh, yes. So in the midst of all this OneDrive drama, I've been writing a series of articles about how you might get a bunch of content up into OneDrive. You know, what's the best way to do that? And I try to look for ways that most people can use, right? I mean, there are some esoteric things you can do. You can map OneDrive as a network drive, for example. You can meld it into your file system in different ways that I don't want to get into right now. But this whole change has kind of thrown that for a loop. And so I had written 2 articles. My third in the series was going to be about documents. And then I thought, you know, I need to step back from this for a little bit. And I moved forward to the fourth part, which was about using your web browser to upload files to OneDrive. And that's one of those goofy, really super simple things that sounds like it couldn't possibly work very well. But according to some people, this is actually quicker than doing the file system integration part. And so the only trick is you have to use Chrome unless you want to update or upload individual files. Like if you want to do a folder structure worth of files, you need to you can drag and drop in Chrome. And so basically you just navigate to the folder in OneDrive where you want the files to go in Chrome, and then you drag from your computer onto the browser window and it actually uploads to that place. And so I did this with music and I wrote an article about that. But I use Xbox Music for my music collection, but there's some music that's just not in Xbox Music. For example, I got all those remastered Beatles albums when they came out a couple years ago and ripped them to, you know, AAC format or whatever. And then I have other music that for one reason or the other, licensing reasons, whatever it is, just isn't in there. And so I've copied all, well, not all of it, but I've copied some of my music that's not in Xbox Music into OneDrive. I use the browser for that. And then on my devices, I can sync it, not from the cloud yet. We're kind of hoping the music locker feature shows up someday. But I can sync that to my PC and then copy it over to my devices that way. So just kind of a cool thing you can do. I don't think a lot of people know you can even do that.
I'm really excited about your software pick of the week. This is a great
This is a big one for me. So Duolingo is a language learning app that's been out for Android and iOS for some amount of time. I'm not actually sure how long. My wife's been using it since probably early in the summer, and I started using it a couple months ago, but it's only been available on Android and iOS. And as of today, it's available on Windows Phone 8.1, which is fantastic. This application is awesome. It's really, really good. It's free. You know, there's no point where, you finished the first lesson, now you have to start paying. I don't know why they do that.
I do. It's a really interesting story.
Oh, tell me, please.
Once you get proficient,
yeah,
they use you as part of a translation service. So it's one of those crowdsourced translation services where everybody gets a sentence. And as part of your training, you get a sentence in Spanish or French or German, whatever you're learning. You translate it. It's not just you, by the way. What they do is compare multiple translations and,
sure.
and so forth. So it's an effective paid translation service. And they use you.
Here's the kicker, though. This system works. I mean, I've been trying to learn other languages for a long time. I've taken classes in town at a language learning center. I've done the Rosetta Stone thing like a lot of us have. You know, you plop down all that money and go nowhere with it. I've done podcasts. There's all these different ways. This is it's kind of a game-based approach.
Yeah, it really works. It's fun.
And I've always felt that this is true of the stuff that I do for work as well. If I need to learn something about, you know, work-related, Office 365, Windows Server, whatever it might be, for me, repetition is key. And sometimes I'll talk to people from Microsoft and they'll say, hey, Paul, you know, we know you know all about this, so we'll just jump for it. I'm like, well, hold on a second. No, please do start from the beginning. I'd like to get that repetition. And they do a really neat job with repetition because it doesn't mean the same thing over and over again. It's the same type of information presented in different ways. And so sometimes you say it, sometimes you translate it in one direction or the other. It's just a really neat kind of approach. So if you're looking to – they support several languages. I'm not sure what the complete list is, but certainly the big ones, Italian, French, Spanish, German, et cetera. There's a client on the web, the client on mobile devices now, and now we have it on Windows Phone. And it looks, you know, it seems, I just did a couple of lessons with it. I haven't spent a week with it or anything, but it looks to be basically identical to it.
I've learned already my first Swedish sentence while you were talking.
Nice.
See, Mary Jo, you could have really valued, this would have been great for you.
I could have.
Yeah.
It would have been great.
Hey, Jag Heather, Mary Jo. Are they laughing at me? Wait a minute. We got to wait 30 seconds.
We'll give 30 seconds. Now they're just walking out.
It's really, I agree with you, Paul. I'm so glad this has come to Windows Phone because it is one of the greatest things in the world. It's a limited number of languages, but boy.
It really is good. Seriously, having spent so much time in other apps and other ways of trying to learn a language, I mean, this is the one for me that's kind of stuck, and it's probably individual or whatever, but I find this approach to be very effective.
Great. Thank you. Uh-oh, they're complaining. Is my Swedish terrible?
You tell him what?
Your Swedish was better than mine, I'm sure. I had to introduce a bunch of people today on a panel, and I think I butchered every single name. I don't know.
It's all a trial about, by fire. They do that on purpose.
Loop. Yeah, yeah. Let's try it.
Especially with the American.
Mary Jo's Enterprise Pick of the Week.
Yeah, my enterprise pick of the week is the product formerly known as Forefront Identity Manager, FIM. It's been renamed to Microsoft Identity Manager.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God. MIM. FIM is MIM now. And Microsoft announced this week that they're making available a public preview of the next version of Identity Manager, this MIM thing. And what it is, it's an on-premises server that allows users to secure cloud identities. That's probably the easiest way I would summarize. Customers can enable single sign-on to an application that supports Azure Active Directory. There's tighter integration with Active Directory. There's a whole list of new features. I think this is going to be coming out in the first half of 2015, although Microsoft didn't give us a new updated date this week. But a year ago, they said that this would be out around the first half of next year. What's very noteworthy is this, I believe, is the last product in the Forefront brand of products, which were enterprise security products, that is being eliminated. So Forefront as a brand doesn't exist anymore at Microsoft.
Was it an acquisition or something? I mean, where did that name come
from? No, that was what they used to distinguish their enterprise security products. So there used to be Forefront Protection for SharePoint. There was the Forefront Threat Management Gateway. There were all these Forefront products. And now this was the last one, I think, that was still called Forefront. And now that is no longer called Forefront, but it still exists in the form of Identity Manager. So there you have it. That's the enterprise pick.
And your code name of the week.
Yeah, this is super interesting to me anyway, since I love code names. Office for iPad, we talked about on a show a while ago, was codenamed Miramar. That product was based on the Office for Mac code base. After Miramar was finished, the team that was working on bringing that iPad code base down to the iPhone decided to start from scratch, and they rebuilt that. So they took the new product that Microsoft talked about last week, the Office for iPhone suite that they're redoing, and that product, the Office for iPhone suite that was redone, supposedly was codenamed Minimar. So we have Miramar, Office on iPad, and Minimar, like Mini-Me, for the Office iPhone.
You complete me.
M-I-N-I-M-A-R. Wow. Minimar.
That's funny.
Codename of the week.
Awesome. Awesome.
Okay,
I just want to show you, because I have been to Sweden.
Oh, good.
I just want to show you some pictures of me in Sweden. There I am with a Viking rune.
Wow.
And here we are on the island of Visby. That's Henry bicycling in Visby, and that's where your beer pick of the week comes from.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, I'm going to need help pronouncing the brewery, I believe.
I'll tell you what. Let me put it on the screen, and then everybody in the audience can help you pronounce the Gotlandsskogen Bulldog Yipa.
Jeez.
What are you laughing at? Yipa. I don't know how to. So let's everybody shout it out when you see it. Here
it
is.
How do you pronounce that? They're saying you did well.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
It's from Gotland's Bryggeri in Spendrups.
Gotland's Brewery.
It's
right?
In Visby, Sweden, which Visby's a beautiful island. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. So this beer was really good. It tastes like an American double IPA, so nice and hoppy and malty. And the bartender told me it has Japanese hops, even though it's a Swedish beer. So that's why the Shogun, I guess. So Jipa is Japanese IPA, I would guess.
That makes sense, yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
No, that makes sense.
It was very good. It was a very tasty beer. And I've had some very nice beers here since I've been here. Although I'm drinking one that's not so nice. It's okay. It was a party beer. Mariestad's. Is that right? Just a basic lager. Not Heineken, but, you know. Yeah. When in Sweden,
nice
drink
label.
Swedish beer.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know Swedish beer is fabulous. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It has been really good.
Swedish beer.
Well, Mary Jo, I'm going to let you go to your Swedish beer party.
Okay.
And,
well, thanks
prepare,
for
because it's
us.
Late. Oh. It's already, what, almost 10 o'clock there. So
Yes, it is.
We'll let you get on with it. But Mary Jo Foley, thank you again to your hosts at thetechdays.se. And what a great picture from Sweden, from Stockholm, Sweden. We'll see you next week. Are you coming? Will you be back home next week?
I won't be back for Windows Weekly if you're doing it the day before Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's right. You're going to Copenhagen.
I am. Yeah.
Or as they say in Denmark, Copenhagen.
Right.
So, well, have a great time, and we'll just have to muddle along without you next Wednesday, Paul. You're going to be here, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Paul Thurrott is at the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. Mary Jo's at allaboutmicrosoft.com, and both of them, between them, cover the waterfront when it comes to Microsoft. They're awfully good. We do this show, The Waterfront, you know, all along the waterfront. I don't, what are you asking me for? I don't know. I don't make this stuff up. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I do.
Explain yourself, sir.
I can't. There is nothing to explain. We do this show every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC. If you'd like to tune in live, we'd love it if you would. If not, though, on-demand audio and video always available after the fact at twit.tv/WW for Windows Weekly, at youtube.com/Windows Weekly, and, of course, wherever podcasts are aggregated, including the Xbox Music Store and the podcast app on your Windows phone and all the other devices. I want to thank the Houghton family for being here, Mark and Tia and Alice.
I want to demand that they're here every week.
They are the greatest. Drake and Noah and Mei Ling. I mean, this is the all Microsoft family.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's how life is like in my dreams.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mary Jo. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you next week on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.